hope everyone had a lovely Christmas with family and during this year of the pandemic. However, whoever you could meet up with, I hope that you had a very merry Christmas. And we are going to be looking at the part of the Christmas story again. And since it's so close, just a couple of days after Christmas. And this morning's service is going to, the sermon's going to incorporate some Christmas carols. So for those listening to this at a later date, I will be editing out those songs. So anyway, but I'll say what we were singing. That way you have an idea. Now, when you walk through a town or go to a store or watch the telly, what jumps out at you as the meaning of Christmas? What's Christmas all about to you? At least to the world, when you're seeing the advertisements on the telly, or you see the adverts in the windows in town or whatever. You know, the John Lewis ad, which is a good one, it's always a nice one. It's all about helping people deal with loneliness. And the song in the background is actually an excellent song, but the video only emphasizes kindness and material things. The Super Value ad is cute and emphasizes family being together. The Woody's DIY advert emphasizes doing good deeds for the elderly. And the Doc Morris ad is all about a grandfather building up his strength before Christmas so that he could lift his granddaughter up as she put the star on the tree. Now, all of these ads are cute, they're heartwarming, they're emotional, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of them, except that they don't really show the true meaning of Christmas. They don't tell you what Christmas is all about. In fact, except for the song in the John Lewis ad, and you'll just have to listen to that, there is no mention of Jesus or the birth narrative in any of these adverts. So basically, year to year, the emphasis is materialism and doing good things for other people. The season also promotes having a good time and enjoying time with family, whether it's a Christmas dinner or some sort of party with friends. Now, obviously, this year is a strange year, and not all of these things will apply, at least legally they don't apply. But the idea of doing good works is promoted throughout. And the world misses out on the truly spectacular miracle of Jesus' birth. There's been much talk of the recent Christmas star on the winter solstice that shone brightly when the two planets, Jupiter and Saturn, were in alignment. And that just made a brighter light in the night. Yet, that is nothing compared to the star shown over Bethlehem, which led the Magi to find Jesus. Now, two basic things that happened that first Christmas. Jesus was born, that's the first one. And man reacted to his birth. Now, how did the people, the different people groups, or different groups of entities even, how did they respond? Well, Mary and Joseph, they were amazed. Mary treasured everything she witnessed, and she thought about these things for years afterwards. Both parents would have been in awe of all that transpired before the birth. I'm sure they were totally exhausted and overwhelmed, but they stayed faithful to God's plan. Heaven was in a frenzy of rejoicing. The heavenly host singing in the birth of Jesus. Not one angel would have been found doing something else at that moment. They would all have been there singing and praising God. The Magi, they noticed the Bethlehem star, and which they had studied it for a couple of years. And as they were studying the stars, they studied the scriptures. They went on a long journey to worship the newborn king of the Jews. Herod was fearful and he was jealous. He tried to deceive the Magi and he murdered countless innocent babies and toddlers. The people of Jerusalem, they were troubled by the arrival of the Magi. And then Simeon and Anna, they rejoiced at seeing the baby Jesus when Jesus was brought to the temple. They knew that he was to bring salvation to all peoples. Each of these people or groups had their own reaction to the birth of Jesus. But what about the shepherds? Now, that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're just going to focus on them. We're going to look at the events of the night of Jesus' birth from the viewpoint of the shepherds. And we're going to follow along their different actions that they did. That's in the narrative that we're going to read here. What did the first Christmas mean for them? What was the first Christmas all about for them? And then as we go along, we'll see how we can follow suit and maybe react in the same way as they did. So we're going to read Luke 2, 8 to 20. Luke 2, 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now, as we look at the most holy night through the eyes of the shepherds, we will focus on their various actions and reactions. And so first we see that they were watching the sheep at night. We can look at this at face value, and the facts are that the shepherds are out in the fields, it's nighttime, and they're watching their sheep. And the reason they're watching their sheep is to protect the sheep from any predators or thieves who might try to take them. That's the simple, plain fact of the verse. But let's look at the verse with the idea that there is some deeper meaning to the scene. Why would God give his message of salvation through the birth of the Messiah to some lowly shepherds in a field? Shepherds were low in status. Sheep are filthy animals, and shepherds tend to smell like their sheep, like their flock. If a family needed a shepherd, it was usually the youngest son, kind of like David was the youngest son of Jesse, and he was out tending his sheep. The youngest son would get the unpleasant assignment of being the shepherd. Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day. The task of caring for them was unending. Day and night, summer and winter, good weather, stormy weather, cold, rain. They worked to nourish, guide, and protect the sheep. Now these shepherds of Israel were watchful. But the other shepherds of Israel, the religious leaders, they were not. The religious leaders should have been faithfully watching for the coming Messiah, but they missed it. And they would not see him even later, when he would be standing in their presence. The religious leaders should have been faithful to their flock, the people of Israel, as the real shepherds are faithful to their sheep. God gave his sign to the faithful shepherds of Israel, the men who were lowly in status, in which the Messiah would model himself after as the Good Shepherd. And Jesus said in John 10, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. And then Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The religious shepherds of Israel had failed. They failed to watch for the Messiah. While the shepherds in the field received the blessing of the Messiah, just as we can receive the blessing of eternal life by turning to Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Now, we can't fault these guys for being fearful, these shepherds. It's just not like being given a fright when somebody jumps out from behind a door or something and yells, boo. It's not the fear of being on a scary roller coaster or even experiencing turbulence while in an airplane. The text says they were filled with fear. The King James Bible says they were sore afraid. Picture this, standing in a field, watching over these 50 or more sheep. It's the middle of the night, you're drowsy, fighting to stay awake. You're not expecting any trouble or anything out of the ordinary. And then the night sky turns to daylight with the glory of the Lord all around, the heavenly host of angels, and one main angel appearing right above them, right near them. It's not the angels who radiate the light, but that's the glory of the Lord. It is God providing the light. At that moment, I think every angel was on duty. Everyone, each providing their voices, all hands on deck, giving glory to God and announcing the birth of the Messiah. And I do believe that those shepherds were fearful, sore afraid. Now the news is it's the greatest ever given to man. And whenever God says, behold, what follows is usually a message of salvation. I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. The birth of Christ can be nothing but joyous. The best part is that this good news is for all, not just for some, not just for the Jews, not just for the wealthy, any certain ethnic group or heritage, but for all people, for you and me. It's for everyone in Killarney, in Ireland. We must pray and hope that all will have ears to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't proclaim his birth. We proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection. We proclaim the cross and what Christ did for each of us on that old rugged cross. The angel proclaimed his birth so that we can now proclaim him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can proclaim that the Christ child was born not to be a warrior king or a diplomatic king. He was not born to conquer Rome. He was born to conquer sin and death. He was not born just to lead his people for a time to put them back in the right direction, but he was born to face sin for us on the cross so that we may have eternal life. Now, Philip Keller is a pastor and an author who was also a shepherd for 8 years. And through that experience, he's written about the life of being a shepherd. And he bases it on Psalm 23. He goes through Psalm 23 from a shepherd's point of view. He said that sheep don't lie down easily. In fact, it is impossible to make them lie down if four factors are not met. First, they must not be afraid. If they are afraid, they will not lie down. They will not lie down if they're rubbing up against another sheep. They don't like the friction. If tormented by flies or parasites, they will not lie down. And if they are hungry, they will not rest. So fear, friction, flies, famine. They must be free from each of these to be contented. Only then will they rest. Only the shepherd can provide the trust, peace, deliverance, and pasture that is needed to free the sheep from these things. And we're the same. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Only Christ, the Good Shepherd, can free us from fear and torment and hunger. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The heavenly host that broke out in praise to God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So let's join them, and we'll sing two songs, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now after the angels left, the shepherds went back to watching their sheep, right? They decided what they observed was a group dream and this could not have happened, right? Well, no, that's silly. They looked at each other. They talked about this with each other. This was too incredible for them to not go see if the angels were correct. They were obedient. They said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that the angels said has happened. Let's go see this thing which the Lord has shown us. Were they doing this for themselves to satisfy their own curiosity? Were they doing this because they were still afraid of the angels and if they didn't go, they might be punished? No. They did this for the Lord because they knew the Lord was the one that showed them. Psalm 42:11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And the key word there, the key phrase there is put my hope in God. Hope is trust. You hope in the Lord. You place your trust in the Lord. So to obey someone, it means that you are trusting that what they ask of you is good and honorable. When the Lord speaks and asks you to do something, that's when your faith begins and you trust and obey. You have faith in God for what he has asked you to do. There's that old hymn, Trust and Obey. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on his way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But the last verse of that hymn is my favorite. It says, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And that's what the shepherds were told to do. Do not fear. Trust the Lord and obey. So off they went in a hurry. It says in a hurry they went. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So the fourth thing they did was they proclaimed. They proclaimed the good news given to them. Now, when you have been told about something, yet you have not seen it or witnessed it for yourself, it's hard to imagine or believe. Now, I had seen pictures of the Grand Canyon, read books about it, the history of the Indians that lived within the canyon, heard stories by people who have camped and hiked through the canyon, or whitewater rafted on the Colorado River that goes through it. Yet you don't get the dramatic effect of the canyon until you look at it from the edge. It is truly one of the most glorious locations on earth. It is surreal. It messes with your equilibrium. Your mind can't fathom the distance down or across or wide. You stand on the edge, and you can see this ribbon of a trail down to a spot that is another cliff edge, of which you continue on down over that cliff. I mean, it's right there in front of you, and it looks only about maybe a 15-minute walk to get there. Yet it's a 3-hour hike to get down to that point, and that's only halfway down. You look across the canyon, and you think it may be a mile or two at most. I mean, you're still trying to figure out the depth, your depth perception. It's 18 miles across. It's a mile deep, over 5,000 feet deep. It is 18 miles across the canyon, and it is 277 miles long. That's nearly the distance between Killarney and Belfast. Killarney to Belfast is 291 miles. Can you imagine a canyon a mile deep, 18 miles wide, stretching from Killarney to Belfast? I am still in awe of this part of God's creation, and once I saw it, I believed. And I told people about it. I mean, it's just so awe-inspiring. Well, the shepherds had a similar type of experience, much more dramatic than looking at the canyon. They were told of the best news ever given. And so they had to go see for themselves. Because you can think about, you know, you can believe as much as you can when you're given the good news, but until you see it. And they went to see for themselves, and they found it to be true. And when they saw it, when they saw the baby, they made known what was told them. They were the first to be entrusted with the gospel. And they were the first to tell others what the Lord had revealed to them. They shared everything that had been told them about Jesus. The proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ started that day with men, with shepherds, people on the fringe of society, and they were sharing the truth about Jesus. They told that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, was born to be Savior for all people. And Mary, she heard these things and she treasured them in her heart. What she did is what all of us should do when we heard the gospel for the first time, when we believed in Jesus. And I know I've heard your testimonies, and I know that you do that. The shepherds treasured this night for the rest of their lives. I treasured the Sunday night. I treasured the Sunday night in October 1972, when I understood the gospel and salvation for the very first time, and I gave my life to Christ. I treasure all the things that God has done for me throughout my life. Why? Because God is so good. He has never led me astray, but He has given me eternal life. He has molded me and made me who I am and still working on me. And I'm sure you're all happy to hear that. He's still working on me. And that is what it means to treasure, to remember, to hold those things dear to your heart and memory as encouragement. You know, when we were about to leave for Ireland in 2011, we were visiting some of my family. We were back in the state of Indiana. I think it was in the month of May. We moved here in July. One of my cousin's husband was a retired pastor. He was afflicted with Alzheimer's, and he died a couple of years later. But on that day, he didn't remember me. But he was all smiles and always his cheerful self. That never changed, thankfully, for my cousin. He was always cheerful. And he asked me who I was and what I was doing. And I told him I was coming to Ireland to work with the church. And at that moment, something snapped. God gave him some of his memories. He remembered me. And he remembered all that Christ had done for him. He remembered all of his pastoral experiences. And he, for the next 10-15 minutes, he gave me pastoral advice. He asked questions about the ministry here, of which I really didn't know very much about, but I answered as best as I could. And then he prayed for me. And it was one of the dearest moments I've ever had in my spiritual life. All the things he had treasured in his heart came forth, and he shared with me, and he encouraged me. And then after his prayer, snap, he was gone again. God gave him and me that moment to treasure. So when I feel down, when I remember that moment that God gave us, and I'm encouraged. And that's why we treasure these things in our hearts. Remembering what the Lord has done in your life, and to be encouraged that there is more to come. Let your heart be in wonder at what the Lord has done. Just as the people who heard the shepherds, they were in wonder at the amazing story of Jesus. And we're going to take a moment, and we're going to sing the song from The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. And then the last thing we're going to look at is the shepherds were worshiping. We've looked at that the shepherds were watchful. They were watching. They were fearful. They were obedient. They were proclaiming the good news. And now the shepherds were worshiping. In verse 20, I'll reread it. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, when we experience Jesus, the salvation we receive through his sacrifice for our sins, we can do nothing but glorify, praise, and worship God for all that we have seen and heard and experienced. Worship should flow naturally from our experiences with God. From that day forward, I'm sure that we can be sure that those shepherds worshiped God. That was an experience that they could never forget. The Magi, they traveled great distances to kneel before the Christ child. They met him and they worshiped him. And one of Jesus' own disciples, Thomas, who doubted that Jesus had resurrected, said he would only believe if he saw Jesus standing before him with the nail wounds in his hands. Yet when Jesus did appear, Thomas only cried out, "My Lord and my God." Worshiping Jesus for dying on the cross for our sins and providing eternal life, that's the treasure that we should keep in our hearts. And that's the reason we worship him every moment of every day. We need no other reason but to know that he loves us and he gave his life for us. So what's Christmas all about? What's the meaning of Christmas? Well, it's all about the babe in the manger. It's about the precious gift to all of us from God the Father and what that babe in the manger did for us on the cross so that we might have eternal life. Now I'm going to play a clip, and I'm sorry for those listening in. You won't be able to see this, but if you remember Charlie Brown Christmas, it's the little scene where Lioness tells Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. Thank you, and God bless. And after the little Peanuts clip, we will close by singing Silent Night.